Hello, my beautiful Broadway friends. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. The Broadway Cast is a weekly talk show that features unique conversations with Broadway's brightest. Additionally, The Broadway Cast gives a voice to fans all over the world like they've never had before. If you love The Broadway Cast as much as we love you, go ahead and make your way over to iTunes, write us a review, give us a 5-star rating. We'd give you one if we could. Also, go over to youtube.com/TheBroadwayCast and you can check out exclusive video footage that you're sure to love. On today's episode, it is all Hamilton stars, Manny Gonzalez, James Monroe Iglehart, and Joanna Jones. Let's get on with the show.
Give my regards to Broadway.
The lullaby of Broadway.
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinkies, Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Oh, that was the best opening.
That was the best opening.
That was so good.
We're already there. Broadway friends, all Hamilton stars today, which I just heard your collective squeals of delight and excitement from all over the world, all 98 countries listening. And I say we meet them. What do you say? Let's do it. Seated to my immediate left on our panel, it's an old pal of mine. She currently stars as Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton, starred as Nina Rosario in The Heights, played Elphaba in Wicked, Amneris in Aida. She appeared on Broadway in Lennon, won an Obie for Eli's Coming, starred in Dance of the Vampires, which
Did you see it?
I saw it.
We were friends.
Yeah.
I remember
seeing you at opening night.
Right.
This is Manny Gonzalez. That we just listened to, my friends, is Mandy's new single.
Written by Lin-Manuel.
Yes, Fearless, that recently dropped. Whole album coming October 20th.
Mm-hmm.
Super exciting.
So
and
exciting.
Engagement at the Carlisle.
Residency. Because they give me a room.
That's, yes. I know. That's insane.
I get to spend the night.
I had no idea that was part of the deal when you were in residency at the Carlisle.
Oh, it's so classy. And it's so classic New York. I love it.
Bougie, I'm
so excited.
New York.
Yes, and they have robes. It'll be so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Wear the robe all the time.
But I won't be wearing the robe for the show. I have other fabulous dresses, but I will be wearing it in the room.
I believe there will be gownery.
Yes.
Tell us about how you came to make the single. And
well,
I heard you say this is the story of your parents.
It is. You know, I called some incredible friends when I was putting together this first album. I called Bill Sherman first, and I asked him if he would want to come and produce this album, and he said, of course. And Bill, I know from In the Heights, he co-orchestrated that show with Alex Lacamoire, and I've watched him, we've watched each other grow up through the years, and he's a dear friend. And when earlier in the year, I started this movement on social media called hashtag Fearless Squad, because I felt that there was a need in social media of people wanting to come together as a community and have a place of belonging and have a place to lift each other up. So I started something with a picture with James and Javi outside of the theater, and I put hashtag Fearless Squad, and thousands of people have responded to that. Posting their own pictures of their fearless squads and wanting to be a part of ours, which anybody can be a part of it, which I love. It has influenced this album. And when I talked to Bill about it, I said, I really feel that there needs to be an anthem for the Fearless Squad, and I want it to be called Fearless. So who do we call but Lin-Manuel Miranda?
And, just dial him right up.
And I said, because Lin knows my voice so well, and he's such a dear friend, and he, I think, is right. You know, if you're in the Fearless Squad, you have to follow the squad rules. And so Lin is, the first thing that Lin is loyal. And I knew that he knew how to tell this story and for the fans. So, so he said, I haven't written anything in a while. I've been doing Mary Poppins in London. And I said, well, let me tell you what Fearless means to me. And I told him the story about my parents and how they met as pen pals. My father was drafted to Vietnam. And they took a chance and they were fearless and they fell in love through letters. And then my father, when he came back from the war, he found my mom and they have been together ever since. And so within
Holy
a week,
moly.
Lin sent me this song. And it's truly been an inspiration an inspirational story throughout my life, but it, I think it's a great song to start this album and this journey. So it's very exciting.
It's super exciting. The song is downright fierce.
Thank you.
I'm using the fierce word.
Thank you.
Is that old school to say fierce?
I don't know.
That's,
is
that like,
that'll be around
is
forever.
That like late 90s gay to say fierce?
Like Oh, that's true.
I mean, I'm learning.
Right.
But like the in Hamilton, like I'll be like, it's so fierce, and they'll be like, you mean like lit? And I'll be like, what's that? Like, okay, so now everything's like lit. So.
Right, it's got to be lit or turnt. Can it be turnt?
Turnt.
Is turnt on its way out?
I don't know. I still hear some of the younger folks still say on fleek.
I don't know. What do you?
Well, he is on fleek. He won a Tony Award. As you well know, he won a Tony Award playing the genie in Aladdin. Currently stars as Jefferson Lafayette in Hamilton. He played Bobby in Memphis. And last season, and I'm going to say the name wrong of your character on Kimmy Schmidt, Coriolanus Burt?
Coriolanus Burt.
Coriolanus Burt.
That's amazing.
Which is absolutely hysterical.
Thank you.
That show knocks me out every time, and that was such perfect casting and dynamic between you and Titus. Tell us about that.
That was fun because I didn't know till the next day that Tina Fey had come to the opening night of Aladdin.
Oh.
And I guess then, you know, she was putting together the show, and she had this one character that she knew she wanted to go against Titus, and from what Titus told me, that she had me in mind. So I still auditioned, but then I got the role I got, and he's like, you know, she had you in mind for this.
I love it.
Saw some of the guys who were auditioning and where they were going with it, and I was like, okay, I just want him to be like Titus, but the opposite of Titus. What is the one guy that I hate to see when I go to auditions? And so I based Coriolanus on those guys.
I love, because we all know those guys, those people you're like, come out to the audition.
What was like the one thing that you said like a lot?
Well, it's just funny because you see these guys at auditions and they are talking loud about all the things that they are doing, and everything that they are doing, you know, absolutely is nothing.
Right.
They're like, oh, of course, you know, I've got a podcast. You're like, yes, yeah. you have a listener of one.
It was me. Yeah.
Like I was, of course, you know, I'm doing a commercial. Yeah, and you're a standby. Everybody's in the commercial with you.
Right.
You are not by yourself. Right. You are a stand-in.
Yeah.
It's like there's always that one guy who's like, James, what are you doing? Oh, someone's calling me my agent. We all have agents, you idiots.
Right.
Yeah, no.
I wanted to base it on that guy.
James Monroe Iglehart.
Thank you very much.
There it is. Now we can clap. As we should. People should clap every time that name is uttered. Rounding out our panel, she's making her Broadway debut as Peggy and Maria Reynolds in Hamilton. She's also appeared in Hairspray Live, The Sing-Off, Thriller Live in the West End, which I want to talk about. Joanna Jones!
Yay!
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
I'm super interested in... what's Thriller Live?
Oh, my goodness. So it is a Michael Jackson tribute show that's on the West End in London. And that was actually my first job out of college, actually. And I was like 21 or something, and it was my senior year. And I just got a new agent, and then I booked that show. And I was like, I guess I'm just going to like leave and go to London now. And so it's an awesome show. It's been around for a long time. I think since like 2009 or something.
Oh, wow.
It's still going. It's basically like a concert. It's there's no storyline or anything. It's literally just people singing his music from beginning to end. Like, and the dancers are incredible. And there's like four people representing different like facets of his personality and stuff like that. There's one woman singer, and that's what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like three guys representing like different parts of his style and voice and stuff like that. And it's just, there's so many songs in it, and it's a riot, and people just love it. Like, they just go crazy for it.
How wacky was that coming out of college to fly to the West End?
Yeah, that was really crazy. The good thing about it was I'm actually half British. My mom's from England, and so I have like my grandparents, my aunts and uncles were out there in the countryside, like in Yorkshire. So like I was able to like have family there, and so it didn't feel so crazy. But having that be my first job out of college was definitely really wild. But I felt like I was like so prepared because I'd just come fresh out of musical theater school, and I was like, I know what I'm doing, and like it was great.
Like fresh out of musical theater school, what ready to sing the Michael Jackson catalog.
Nice.
My book now.
Yes.
All right, here at the Broadway cast, I'm thrilled that you guys are here. This is so fun for us. We like to have a little fun at the top of every show, kind of break the ice. And so today, it seems awfully fitting. I've just started to sweat. We're going to have a Hamilton rap battle. All right.
Okay.
We have found several classic musical theater songs. We're going to challenge our panelists here, and apparently this just in, myself, to interpret these musical theater classics, which we do not know what they are. I don't know. and we're going to drop a hot beat. We're gonna drop a hot beat, and we're gonna go for it.
Oh my god!
So, all right. I guess, okay. Am I going first?
Sure,
I have to, because otherwise I'll...
Yeah,
if you
way
go,
we know what it is.
Joanna and Mandy, you want to help me?
Sure.
Okay, Mandy's going to be my hype person, and Joanna's going
to... I'll try to throw you a beat.
You're going to beatbox for me? Okay,
I'm so worried.
I am about... Oh, great. Apparently my rap...
Oh, no.
...is Good Morning Baltimore.
Okay.
I went to AMDA for 2 whole months, guys. I got this.
For 2 whole months?
For 2 whole months in the 90s. Okay.
I'll throw you a beat. You got this. You got this. You got this. Do it. Yeah. Don't wait. Hit it.
Oh, woke up today feeling the way that I always do. Oh, hungry for something that I can't eat. Then I hear that beat. The rhythm of town starts calling me down. It's like a message from high above. Oh, pulling me out to the smiles in the street that I love. Morning, Baltimore. Like an open door. I'm a human, another band to see. Every sound is like a symphony.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm about to lose. This is terrible. That was amazing, bitch.
Do you think so? I've never felt
really
more
good.
Alive.
Okay, all right, let's see.
I'm gonna give a show. Okay, James Monroe, I go hard.
I have.
That was great.
I'm so excited.
What is it? Popular.
Yeah. From popular. The musical Wicked. That was a sick beat. You dropped the name.
All right, let's see.
Exact same thing.
I felt super supported.
Okay.
Ooh.
When I see someone less fortunate than I, let's face it, who is less fortunate than I? Oh. My tender heart starts to bleed. And when someone needs to make a vote, I have to just take over and I know exactly what they need. I even know the case, though. This may be tough a case to face. Don't worry. Whoa. I'm determined to succeed. Follow my lead. And yes, indeed, you will be popular. Oh. You know you're gonna be popular. I'm gonna teach you all the ploys to win you talking boys. Little how to wear the flirts and flouts and lose to wear you wear your shoes. How to fix your hair. Everything they really count. Cause you know you only want to be popular. I'm gonna help you be popular.
J-M-I.
Whoa, you're gonna hang with the right J-M-I. Cohorts. You're gonna be good at sports. Know the slang, cause you got to know. And let's start, cause you know J-M-I. An awfully way to go.
Yeah! What? Woo! I'm feeling so unbelievably lit. So remarkably turnt.
That's
right
so
now.
Great.
Fierce.
But mostly I'm feeling fierce.
Mostly.
Yes.
Who won that rap battle, do you think? Mandy, what do you think?
I do this without guilt. James.
Yes, absolutely. I thought I didn't see that
but
coming.
I feel like there was no chance because he does this like off stage. Like he'll find a lyric or something that he wants to and he'll just go. Like he's incredible. Like he's a professional.
What I'm afraid of is just some producer often, you know, some small town going, you know, that's the next hit.
That's it.
That's it. We're going to make a mashup of Wicked and Hairspray hip hop version.
Right.
Broadway's coming. It's gonna be great.
Broadway's all the rage now.
It's gonna be great.
We're gonna make a mixtape, which actually brings me to this. We were talking, Joanna, earlier. I have to hear this. She was telling me that backstage, she does many voices that she's been able to take
Shakira.
Some of Hamilton and Shakirize it.
Yes. Yes.
Can we hear a little bit, Joanna, what Shakira sounds like doing Hamilton?
I'm all like lightheaded from that beatboxing.
Those beats were sick and dope.
Seriously.
Okay, let's see if I can do it. I'm going to try and do say no, like a couple lines of say no to this. I know you are a man of honor. I'm so sorry to bother you at home, but I don't know where to go. And I came here all alone.
Oh my gosh.
If I am downstairs and I hear
amazing.
That voice, I'm like, oh, okay.
It's going to hit you when you least expect
so
it.
When she first hit us with that, we were like, what?
Wow.
Do it again.
That is deeply on point.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
She's
okay.
Amazing.
I love that.
I'm having a nice time.
Yes, this is fun.
We're fun.
All right, friends, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start.
Sorry.
No, it's true. Well, actually, one of the things we were considering for the rap battle was actually Do Re Mi. We thought that might be a fun one, too. I want to know your very first stage memories. Like, when was the first time you remember looking at a stage and understanding what theater was and going, I think I want to do that?
There was a dinner theater by my grandmother's house called the Showboat Dinner Theater, you could eat like at a buffet and then go and watch a show. And it was right down the street from my grandparents' house. And I remember my brother and I would get like the all-you-can-eat pickles, and we would take it and we would watch the show. And the first show that we saw with my grandma was Man of La Mancha. Yeah. And the cast was so good. And I felt I loved it. I mean, I was like 7 years old and I was like, this is amazing. I actually, the woman that played Aldonza was my singing teacher after that.
Oh, wow.
Because her voice was just like extraordinary. But that's the first like theater memory that I have.
Are you still connected with this woman?
No, I think the Showboat Dinner Theater closed.
Because
we were the only ones like eating the pickles. So I don't know what happened.
Nothing goes with Man of La Mancha quite like pickles.
I know.
It's the situation. I just can imagine how very proud she must be of you your first voice teacher.
I'm sure. And she taught me. I keep those lessons, like, that was my foundation for everything, because she was classically trained and she taught me all of that. So it was the most amazing teacher I could have had.
She created the beast.
She did. Yes,
that's awesome.
JMI.
It's a tie between something very Broadway and something very not Broadway. I was a kid who just loved shows. Like, you take me to it. Like, we go to the amusement park, and I don't like roller coasters. I would go to all the shows. So my parents would go one way, and I'd go one way. Uh-huh. So there was a show that came to town. They were in the same week, which is weird. The Bugs Bunny Live. Yes, I said that correctly. Bugs Bunny Live.
This sounds right.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny Live was there. And one of the reasons why I went was because not only was Bugs Bunny going to be there, but Batman and Robin were going to be there.
This is like
in the same program?
Yeah, it was a real live show, and so I went there and I went and saw it, and it was, you know, the characters were there laughing, and you know, their mouths weren't moving like now where they have animatronic stuff, but I remember Batman and Robin running down the aisle, and they sounded just like Adam West and Burt Ward, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what this is, but I want to do this. And then I remember like the next week or so, like next weekend, my parents took me to see The Wiz. And it was the national tour of The Wiz in San Francisco, and Ted Ross stepped on stage as the lion.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And that was pretty much done.
Oh,
my mom ended up making me a little lion costume that I walked around the house in. I sang at my church talent show and sang Me No Lion there. I mean, yeah, it was over. Once The Wiz was there, between Bugs Bunny, Batman, and Broadway, I was like, well, there's my career. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. So
I
those
feel
who
like
know
that's
me know that that's very true.
That's a very succinct packaging, though.
Had,
Bugs Bunny, Batman.
Too, yeah,
if wrestling would have been that, I'd be like, well, this is it. I'm done.
It's all mapped out.
You played that character.
Oh, trust me. There's
with
a
Tommy's production.
Yeah, there's a whole history of the lion with me. Yeah.
Speak on it.
I mean, his voice is like... incredible.
Like I said, the first time I saw The Lion was in San Francisco with Ted Ross, and I kind of lost it. And then the movie came out, and there were only a few people from the original cast that were in the movie. Ted Ross was one of them.
Yeah.
So I got to watch him in that. And so my mom made me a lion costume, and I sang Me No Lion at the talent show. And from then on, all I wanted to do was to play the lion. And I remember playing the lion at this wonderful little theater in Oakland called the Woodminster Theater. And, you know, it was a little nice place. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's cool.
Did they have pickles?
They didn't have pickles.
No.
But it was outside in an amphitheater, and it was nuts and craziness and all kinds of nuts stuff happened.
You're like,
yeah, right. So I'm singing out there.
Be quiet.
And I remember the Dorothy I was singing with, she kept saying, she was marking the whole time. I was like, babe, you got to come up, because you know, once I start singing, nobody's going to hear you. Because I know how loud I am, you know. And sure enough, she didn't say it. Once I started singing, the duet went crazy. But I'm also a big fan of Wizard of Oz. So in San Jose, American Musical Theater, which is now defunct, I got to play the Burt Lower version of The Lion. Right. And then I prayed. I said, Lord, please, I would love to play this in New York sometime. I don't know how it would happen. And then at the Encores Theater, Tommy Keel with, of course, Annie Blankenbuehler and Lacamoire.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me, Josh Henry, and Christian Dante White. And the three of us were the Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow. And I remember the three of us talking to each other. We were like, nobody knows who we are, but we are in this show with LaShans, Ashanti, Don Lewis, Orlando Jones. I mean, all we have to do is just be good, because the stars are already here.
Yeah.
You know, Tashina Arnold played Eveline. All we have to do is just be good. And sure enough, from that show, folks just knew who we were.
Yeah.
And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. So The Lion has a very special place in my heart.
Yeah. The whole life built up to that moment.
And Ted Ross won the Tony for Best Featured Actor.
Uh-huh.
And I was in the same category. So I to win that award in the category he won, it was like nuts for me.
That's a beautiful full circle moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joanna.
I remember the first show that I saw was at the Solvang Theater. It's this gorgeous outdoor theater on the central coast of California. And it was Pirates of Penzance. And I don't remember. I honestly don't remember how. I was so young that I like have no idea like how old I was or who was playing it and stuff like that. But I just remember like the feeling of like seeing how exciting that show is and just seeing like all the sisters and their dresses and like the pirates and everything, and like I loved the music, and I just like fell in love with it. And I remember being so young, but being like, I want to do that. and funnily enough, like in high school, that was like my first like leading role. Like when I was in high school drama, was like Mabel in Pirates of Penzance. Wow. And so it was like a full circle moment. So
That show is timeless. Like that show truly sounds like it's been written yesterday. It's so smart and funny. And exactly. I love that. Mm-hmm. What was the first time that you got on stage?
The first show that I did I did all of these different shows because I was in a community group called Rock Theater, where we did rock and theater.
Nice.
So it was a blend.
Just crazy enough to work.
It really did work. And we went all around Los Angeles. I remember we performed for Mayor Bradley. That was like our claim to fame. But Fame, we did songs from Fame. Yeah, we did, yeah, did all different things. But it wasn't until I got to high school, I think, that I really did like shows.
Yeah.
So when I got to high school, the first show that I was in was South Pacific, and of course I was Bloody Mary because I feel like So that was my first time on stage, and I had like the full accent. It was just like the movie. It was so like inappropriate, but I didn't know any better. What it was. So, but that was the first time that I was on stage and in a show, and I loved it so much.
Yeah, and once the bite happens.
Oh yeah, and then it was over.
But what is besides the lion?
What's funny is like once I finished my lion part of my young years, I wanted to be a rapper, so I was a rapper forever. And then I joined show choir, and
show choir.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was in show choir, and mm-hmm. they lured me in by saying they were going to Little Shop of Horrors, and they never did.
Liars.
But what they did do, they completely lied. What they did do was they did You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and so of course I was like, what's the cool role? And they were like, yo, Snoopy. I was like, great, I want Snoopy. So I go in and I audition for Snoopy thinking I'm going to get it and go up to the lines like, okay, the casting's out. I look on the line and says, Snoopy, John, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's terrible. Who the heck am I? Charlie Brown. Oh, you got to be kidding. So I ended up playing Charlie Brown in high school. Uh-huh. And it was the weirdest feeling because I looked at the teacher. I was like, you do realize I'm black, right? I mean, you don't have Franklin in the show, but I'm Charlie Brown. She's like, no, I think you'd be great. And I remember the first time I sang the Kite song. Mm-hmm. That kind of like did it for me because it was like me on stage by myself, no string. I was, miming the whole thing, and I was having the best time. It's such a well-written show. It's such a fun show to do. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of when I was like, I think I could do this musical theater thing. I think this could be the career to go.
Yeah.
So it was Charlie Brown. You're a Good Man. Charlie Brown was the one.
I love that. I also love for both of you, like not getting the role that you actually wanted in the first place.
You just could tell, like I was like, I feel like I could be Nelly.
I feel like I could.
Well, that's the thing.
You're Bloody Mary.
That's the thing. My school was so known for like, I shouldn't say boxing in races, because when you're in the arts, they don't, but at least in my school, but everywhere else on my campus, it's like black people do this. And black people do this. So it's like when I was like Charlie Brown, it's like, wow, you're really open-minded. I didn't know how the audience was going to feel, but I realized that if you don't tell little kids what to think, that's it for them. Little kids came and I was Charlie Brown. Because I wore the shirt, I wore the shorts, I was Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. So they had most of the little kids didn't know who Charlie Brown was. So to them, I was Charlie Brown, which was so cool.
That's actually a beautiful thing. Joanna?
Well, I remember when I was really little, I was just like singing. Like I would sing at church and I was like horribly, horribly like nervous and anxious about that. And I thought I was just going to be like a singer. But then in about sixth grade, I did my first community theater show. Actually, Mandy, I think in an area that you're from, I did at the Canyon Theater Guild in Newhall.
I did a
Christmas Carol there. Mm. Yeah,
classic.
And I was just like a little street urchin. I was just like an orphan or something. But it was the first time I was like started to like understand theater culture and like the language used, and I got to see backstage, and like my brother was like part of the crew, and like it was just really magical. And I was like, this is great. Like, and it just sort of spun off from there, I guess.
Yeah. So then what for each of you was the road then to the Broadway stage?
For me, it was having a teacher that believed in me. I worked with this voice teacher, Seth Riggs, and another voice teacher, Wendy Parr.
Seth Riggs.
When I was in high school. And he told me about this program in Tampa, Florida, called the Broadway Theater Project that Ann Rankin ran at the time. And I got scholarship to go there for 2 weeks. And I was with people from all over the United States. And it was, you had to audition to get in. So you're really with like the best of the best. And I remember Gregory Hines coming in to teach a class.
Holy moly.
And wanting to get into the class like so bad. But I was not a great tapper. And there were such great tappers in this this program. But I worked really hard. And I got into the class. And then they did this thing where you had to circle. You had to get in a circle, and it was like a challenge circle. Like, I didn't know because I'm not a tapper. And like everybody, and so Gregory got in first, and he'd be like, challenge. And then like other people would start going, and I was the last one. And they're
So then, oh, golly.
And so then Gregory Hines was like, okay, we have time for one more. And I was like, I can't let this moment pass. And so then I like jumped into the circle, and then everybody was like, she can't tap, sing. No, they didn't say that. But they were like, oh,
you just awesome. Jumped in the middle of the circle and belted a G.
But I did. And I and so they were like, sing, sing, sing. And so then I did, and I sang Fish Gotta Swim, Birds Gotta Fly. And I did this whole, like, riff kind of thing. And then Gregory Hines, like, broke the circle and was, and he gave me this big hug, and he called me the voice. And I was like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life.
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, I'm feeling faint.
I know. But the crazy thing is that there's news footage of it, and I don't know where it is because there was a news crew there, and they were filming me the whole time. And then they had this news thing come out that was like, the girl in the back. She wasn't sure if she was going to go to the circle. And it was like this whole, like, thing that was happening in my mind was being filmed. At that same time. It was so crazy. But that changed my life. Like, honestly. Like, and it really made, it gave me so much, he gave me so much confidence. Just in just being so kind to me and, like, giving me that big hug. Like, it was just like, oh, I can do this. And and I'll never forget that, or, you know.
Did you go to college?
I went to college for a year. I went to CalArts, and then I auditioned to be a backup singer for Bette Midler.
That's right, you were on
Yes, and then I went on the road with her.
I found that out a couple weeks ago.
Accomplished. Yeah.
And then we came to New York and we stayed at the Plaza when it was.
You're doing all the right hotels, Mandy.
I know. That's what I'm saying, when you could still stay there. And I was like, I have to come back to New York. And I never stayed at the Plaza again. I moved to Brooklyn where it was affordable. And now I'm in Jersey because Brooklyn's out. I've been outpriced or whatever. So, but yeah, it's one of those things where your path just kind of takes you along as you say yes. And it's. Yeah. Legal, like, why not?
Yeah. You know? It's legal. Yeah. Which show was your Broadway debut?
My Broadway debut was Aida.
Was it Aida? Yeah.
Yeah. We were together.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, we were in Aida together.
I didn't know that.
And I remember you coming in, and I just, the voice that it's, you guys know, it's just positively nutty.
Thank you.
And I remember the whole cast being in a tizzy about
Everybody was really excited.
It was such a
were rush.
Were you playing Aida?
No. I played Amneris.
Yes.
I love that show. But it was one of those moments where I was the standby for Adina.
Yeah.
And she wasn't out for like 4 months. And, you know, as a standby, you're just there at the theater. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And so by the time I went on, I was so just ready.
Yeah.
And I remember my best friend, Darrell Moultrie, who's now an incredible choreographer.
Yes,
and
he saw him.
I was in this plexiglass, and he like came around the plexiglass and he looked at me like I was so focused. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I got this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just.
Yeah, because you got to wait for that slow turnaround.
It's true.
Baby.
But I was just like, I could not wait. I was so excited.
I love that you brought up Smokey D.
Yeah.
Tiny D, as we like to call him.
Yeah, Tiny D.
JMI.
I was in college, and I was working at the bookstore. This lady walks up to me and says, hey, there's an audition in San Francisco. You should go for it. There were three shows they were auditioning for, Phantom, Ragtime, Showboat. I went. I lied. I told my professors that I was sick. I went to the audition. They asked me, was I Equity? No, I wasn't, because I had almost signed an Equity contract on Sunday, but it wasn't fully done yet. So I lied, got to the front of the line, went in, auditioned, left. They called me back, said, hey, please come back. I auditioned again, and the show was Showboat. I was the last one there, and once I was done, I was Swing. I had no idea what a Swing was.
Oof.
I went home and told my mom I was Swing. Nobody told me what that thing was.
So like, I think the character's name is Swing.
I was like, yeah, I'm playing Swing and Showboat. This is going to be great. And
it's
then
a big
all of a sudden,
boat. They got a Swing.
When I get there, they're like, yeah, you're understudy 8 guys. I was like, that's amazing. And from all those 8 guys.
And then you're like, oh.
No, seriously, I was like tripping, but I was also too egotistical to think
of
it.
Course,
I was like,
of
hey guys, yeah, I got this. I mean, what you gotta do? Let the bale of hay, it'll be fine. And then, I didn't know anything about a split track with two dudes leaving. You're like, oh wait, you mean the bale of hay is on stage left and the truck is on stage right? You're some terrible people.
Yeah,
so
evil nonsense.
So evil people. That
I
you
think
have
everybody
leave.
Should swear.
Everybody
in that
should
way.
Swear. Yeah, everybody
or
should
stand
swear.
By or yes. understudy because yes. you learn
so
to
much.
Be humble and you learn so much.
Yes, and you learn what you can and can't do.
Yeah,
you were like, oh, I can't do that, and then you're out there on a split track and you learn, oh.
I can do this.
So when you get a principal, you're like, wait, I got one thing to do? Oh, this will be fine. I can do one thing. Yeah. One thing is fine. It's the three parts that I have a problem with. But I met so many guys from New York there, and they were like, you should come to New York. I was like, no, I can't. It snows. Like, can you just come to New York? No, it snows. And then I was doing this little tiny show that nobody knew called Memphis in the Bay Area, and one of my dear friends, my best friend, Derek Baskin, left Memphis and said, hey, I'm going to go do this little show that might do something called Spelling Bee. Spelling Bee came to New York, and when they were looking for people in San Francisco for the San Francisco company, he told them about me. I got in that, and they took that particular Spelling Bee cast to Boston and to Broadway, and that's how I made my Broadway debut, by being in that. But it took from being, you know, the tour, Memphis, Spelling Bee, and in Spelling Bee I made my debut, and it was the coolest thing in the world to make your debut in that role, you know.
Yeah.
To be the comfort counselor.
Yeah.
And it was also really cool because we were right next to Wicked. And nothing like being in a show right next to a show that is the biggest show ever.
Yeah.
Because right when you get to Broadway, you're like, I am the man. Uh-huh. I am on Broadway. And you're like, dude, don't nobody care. Wicked's next door.
Wicked's next door. You're like, we're in a little play right here.
Right. And the show's 90 minutes long. So by the time we got out of the show, she hadn't even defied gravity yet. He was like, peace. Yeah, we can leave. Ain't nobody coming out of there. We can go. You know, so it was, again, that was one of those humble moments of what you in college think Broadway is. And, they taught us what Broadway was real quick. Mm. So
yeah, there's always the reality of it versus what you perceive it's going to be.
Yeah.
Trying to get to work in a blizzard, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it was snow. Scary.
At the same time.
Yeah, you were like,
First of all, I don't even know what a blizzard is. I just moved from California.
It's great.
Welcome.
You're just going to love it.
I'm from California. Trust me.
Yeah, me too.
You'll get through it.
You're fine.
You'll get through it.
Just got here a month and a half ago. This is my Broadway debut. Yeah. So
how did that happen?
Yes. I don't know, actually.
Tell us.
I don't know. I mean, I fell in love with musical theater in high school because it was a great program that allowed us to do a bunch of productions, and that influenced my decision to go to UCLA and study musical theater there. And then from there, I went to the West End, and then I moved back to California, and I just sort of was floating along and kind of had the opportunity to perform at some awesome places, houses in LA, the Pasadena Playhouse, Hollywood Bowl, and just a lot of great stuff out there. And then I was a part of this really awesome theater company out of Hollywood called For the Record Live, and they do these amazing shows based on film directors, and they sort of lump in several films.
Yeah,
the director
yes.
in,
yeah.
And they create a show based around those films, and so we.
Because that's kind
out.
Of where the Baz thing started out.
Yeah,
is that right?
So that was my first show with them, and it started in this little restaurant in Los Feliz, actually, and then it moved to a nightclub at DBA, and now it's in Las Vegas, and I was out there last year doing it. But that theater company really sort of did the finishing touches for my inner readiness and confidence and stuff like that. And so I was just in LA literally 2 months ago, just recording music and stuff, and then I got a call that was like, can you come out for your final callbacks for Hamilton? I was like, I guess so. And then they're like, can you get here in a week and a half? And I was like, I guess so. So here I am.
So your head's still spinning from all of this.
Yeah.
This is a fairly epic show to be making your debut in.
I just want to ask you one question.
Please do.
Would you please tell the people how long you've been in Hamilton?
2 weeks, maybe?
Thank you.
You've been for 2 weeks and you're already Shakira-ing it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
She was bad when she came
She's
in the first day.
Incredible addition. We were we love her.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were like,
I'm ready for this.
We're
and I got tricks, too.
Yeah.
We're like, she is awesome.
Yeah.
To be part of that phenomenon, it's just got to be...
Yeah, it's mind-blowing. I still, pinch myself every day. It feels like a dream, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before we get into the deep dish Hamilton side of things, I'm interested, given the, obviously, the musical influences surrounding Hamilton, outside of theater, what kind of other music inspired you? Do you listen to? Or were you only listen to show tunes?
I listen to the Beatles.
Yeah.
John Lennon a lot. My mom was a huge fan. So we just listened to a lot of records. My father worked a lot. Both my parents worked. My dad worked like three jobs. And so on Sundays would be our day to be with him, and my mom could have a little bit of a break. And so we would watch Elvis movies on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
So I would watch Elvis 68 Comeback. So pretty much I thought Elvis was like related to us because he kind of had the same hair as my dad. He's still
lucky.
My dad still got it, I have to say.
Yeah.
And but so that was really my first intro into music. And then because both of my parents worked, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, who was really into like the Torch singers, like,
oh wow,
Judy Garland, Edie Gourmet, Ethel Merman, Tammy Terrell. So I would try to like listen to these singers and like imitate them. So that was my whole musical like growing up. And then my brother was into hip hop and rap, and so I would listen to that with him. And then my sister was into like the Smiths, like she had her hair like this.
She was
growing
brooding.
Up, like she was like, leave me alone. Like she was my older sister.
Brooding.
So she was into like The Cure and like all that kind of stuff. So, you know, anything you can kind of find a story. And and so I have a big like eclectic taste for music because of my upbringing and being in a house full of just all different kinds of sounds. So
And going to you, James, because you're going to be a rapper.
My mother was a music teacher, though. She was a high school music teacher for 38 years.
Oh, wow.
And so,
good
but also
her.
She played in a church. So she played. My first solo was I was 4 years old at the Sunshine Choir in Palmacia Baptist Church in Hayward. So it was everything from, and my father's from Texas, but he was also an actor in the 70s. So we had everything from gospel, R&B to country. But my dad loved Elvis. So Elvis, like his people were Elvis, Jackie Wilson, and the Temptations. So we had that in the house. So it was such a plethora of different styles in the house. And then, of course, growing up, all my cousins and stuff listened to hip-hop. So it went from, you know, and of course, there was that one fateful day, I'll never forget, when Motown 25 came on and we all realized what the moonwalk was.
Because
Michael Jackson was there. So it was
the day the world changed.
Everything from the Reverend James Cleveland, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Run DMC, Houdini, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley. So, I mean, there were so many different people. My iPod, my nieces and nephews hate my iPod because if it's on random, literally random
iPod,
things can
like
come on.
I
still have mine. Apple's so mad. They're like, we're not going to fix it. I'm like, fine. I'll just crank it. You know why? I don't want to go off on a tangent. You know why? Because I don't want all my music to be on my phone. And also, if you have a CD of music and you put, CD still is this, and you put it on your iPad and you put it on iTunes, iTunes takes the music off because you didn't buy it. Yeah, you heard me.
That's right. That's right.
You heard me, Apple.
Yeah.
I bought the CD, you know, so I had so many. I have this one iPod that has all this old music on it that I still like break out. So it literally can go from like Wu-Tang Clan, they nothing to beep with to, you know, to Johnny Cash, really, or to Elvis.
Right.
That's when you brought up Elvis, I started laughing because my dad
used to
piss off my mom. But every time he would get in trouble, he would look at her and she would go, "Why'd you do that?" And he'd go, "It's just the beast in me."
Oh.
And that's Elvis. Elvis said that line.
Oh, my boy.
Yeah. Right. So I know all of Elvis's tunes, so it's great.
Yeah.
For our listeners who of a certain age, an iPod was a tiny little device that you could download and store music onto before it was all on
before
your
phone. Before it was streaming. It was you had to crank it. Yeah. And then you had to slide
to roll it.
You had to put the music on one side and put it on the iPod. There was no AirDrop. There was no Wi-Fi.
You can't type in what you want to listen to. You got to spin through the wheel
until
you get to. Yeah.
And don't let the song go the way you want to go. Then you got to try to spin it back to rewind. You're like,
damn. I mean, how did we ever survive walking around with CD players with us?
Oh, my gosh. Remember the guys that used to sell the batteries in the subway?
The guys used to sell the batteries.
Yeah, like nobody had. No, there's not that guy anymore.
No.
Then he went to he also sold toys for kids. Then it was he's like. Evolved.
Right. Or if it starts raining, somehow the umbrellas come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You're like, I got
that.
Had CDs a minute ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Where does he keep all of it? That's amazing.
I still
the bootleg movies. Like, where'd the movies go for? Where'd the movies go and where the umbrellas come from? You have a secret compartment
in
the wall.
Nobody sells those.
No.
It's so weird.
You don't need those.
Nobody even sells the movies.
The bootleg movies anymore. No,
because
it's like off the internet.
I still have the huge CD books in my bedroom.
I do too.
I have a really hard I can't really part with them.
Yeah, I do too.
I've got like the 200 caser and I'm like,
Yeah.
Well, one day will this be an antique that I can sell on Antiques Roadshow?
You can hang with my dad and all his laser discs.
I still have the In the Heights CD. Do you understand?
I do too.
Me too.
Me too.
Me too.
God, I'm having a good time. Joanna?
I guess similar to James, I grew up in church, and my dad was a musician also, in the 80s and stuff, and he still is now. And so it was a really wide range of stuff that I was exposed to, and he was always playing something different in the car. So it could be anything from old school church, Sandy Patty and Amy Grant.
Yes, baby.
No one's singing quite like Sandy Patty.
No.
Yeah. Or he could be listening to old rock stuff, Steely Dan, The Dire Straits, Men at Work. And it's just so random. And then jazz stuff. He loved there's this Japanese pianist we both love called Keiko Matsui. She's amazing. Brazilian jazz music. We would listen to that a lot. So I had sort of a well-rounded situation. My brother was listening to screamo music, so I have I like
screamo?
That as well. Hardcore, where all just sounds a demon.
It's kind of it sounds like my rapping.
Hard rock, heavy metal.
Yes. So I have a taste for that as well. But now it's more just more jazzy and my favorite artist right now is Lana Del Rey. Obsessed with her.
Oh, yeah. She's twisted.
I love some Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald. Amy Winehouse.
Oh, forget it.
Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, of course.
I got to sing back up behind Sandy Patty.
Tell us when.
Sandy Patty came to town and they were looking for, they always are, we need a black choir. And somehow they got in touch with my mom. And my mom put together a group of her friends. So all of her friends from all the churches she played for, she put them together and she told me I could sing with them. And we sang in two towns. We sang in San Jose, and I forgot what the other one is, really close by San Jose. And we had to sing this one tune behind Sandy Patty. And we would wait for the whole show.
What was the Sandy Patty tune?
I Will Rejoice. Rejoice. That one. So we sang that behind her. And then there was a moment where there was a break in the music, and it just went straight, Hallelujah music. And we were going. I remember the mic was being passed from different singers, and it got to me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just started ad-libbing. My mom looked up and was wondering who was singing, and she saw it was me. And we got back. I was like, Mom, I don't know what happened, but that was the coolest thing in the world, to watch, not only watch Sandy Patty perform because she's such a professional, but to get that moment of singing behind her. And to be in an arena that big,
that's incredible.
My mom, she was so excited.
Was she just weeping?
She was so excited. Yeah, she was. We were all just tripping out. We were because it was only two nights. Because the next night she went to San Francisco and they brought somebody.
And they brought
else.
Another choir.
We were it's so cool. We got to sing behind Sandy Patty. But yeah, I'll never forget that as long.
That's
as
so cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was Another Place, Another Time album.
Oh, so, I loved
yes,
that one.
That's how I know.
We gotta sing that later.
Sandy Patty's got to come do a Broadway thing at some point.
You
for
would
God's
think.
Sake.
Her influence on Broadway Holiday, singers is kind of amazing. Yeah.
I mean, she's mixing it like nobody's business. Shout out to Sandy Patty. Thank you for listening. We love you, Sandy. All right, friends. We all know we love Broadway. And if you're anything like me, I can only imagine that you also love a great vacation. So why not combine the two and take a Broadway-themed vacation with Playbill? That's right. Playbill Travel has been hosting the biggest fans of Broadway all over the world on incredible week-long cruises that get you up close and personal with the biggest and brightest stars of Broadway. I'm not joking. One night you can hear an amazing and intimate performance by, I don't know, let's say Tony Award winner, an amazing human being, Christine Ebersole. And the next morning, you're going on an incredible excursion through Iceland with her. Check out PlaybillTravel.com to take a look at Playbill's cruise up the Rhone River in France, where guests and Broadway stars had the time of their lives. Playbill Travel has two amazing cruises lined up between now and July of next year. So head to PlaybillTravel.com to book your soon-to-be most favorite vacation ever. So Hamilton, the Hamilton show, it's a big deal. It's a great big deal. It's a worldwide phenomenon. It's insane. Let's talk about kind of how you have been impacted by this crazy fan base that exists for the show.
What's so wonderful about the Ham fans is that they're so embracing and they love it so much. And there's so many of them that are children of In the Heights fans as well and have become In the Heights fans. So I feel a deep sense of responsibility because they are so loyal to Hamilton, to that music and to the story that we're telling, and so loyal to Nina Rosario and want to tell me their story and how they're struggling and how Breathe has helped them. And so I think that it's just a beautiful thing, and they're so embracing, and they just, so I love it because they, but it does take a little bit more time after the show to leave because
you got to make it through the sea of people.
You got to make it through half hour to 45 minutes, and everybody wants to tell you what this show means to them and how long they've been waiting to see it. And so it's a really it's a really beautiful thing to be part of that. I mean, it's a blessing. It really is.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about for you? How have they affected you?
It's been shocking how many people, how many young folks, their first show that they ever saw on Broadway was Aladdin. And now here they are years later. They're like, we saw you the first year, and now I'm 16. So they were like 13 when they saw Aladdin, and they're 16 seeing me as Jefferson. And so they're like, you don't understand. When I first saw Aladdin, I'd never seen a Broadway show before. It was the biggest thing. It was a crazy thing. I listened to you. I listened to Friend Like Me all the time. And then to come around and like to see me in this role, they like trip out. I think what gets me the most are the young girls who love Genie, but also and love rapping fast like Lafayette. They always want to show me that they can do Lafayette, which I think is so great because I'm like, these girls have mad skills. I mean, skills.
I
and then
that.
the little there's always a couple little brown round boys who come to the show, and I remember what it was like being a little round brown boy and what you can and cannot do. And when they see Genie do cartwheels and jump, and then they see my big behind jump off a table and do all this kind of stuff, they're like, you just keep showing us that, you know, bigger guys can do things. And I'm like, yeah, of course you can. There's nothing you can't do. So I get those stories a lot, you know. And it's always kind of fun to know that there was a kid who their first experience was the first show you were in. And now they finally get to see the show that, you know, is the biggest show on Broadway that everybody wants to see. And you're in it now, too. They're like, I remember you. And I remember what it felt like. And now I see you in it. It's really kind of cool because she's right. They want to tell you their stories and of how they found Hamilton or how they got into hip hop or the fact that their parents don't let them listen to hip hop, but they get to listen to Hamilton. Which is really, really cool.
It's so great to see like a young person watch the show right next to their parent, and they're both singing the score. And, you know, the parents are like, I know every word. And, you know, they listen to it on their carpools in the morning. I know I do with my daughter, you know. And we listen when James came to – I've known James a long time. And when he came to the show, Aladdin is, like, one of my daughter's favorite things to listen to on the way to school. And he made a tape for her and her friends because we do carpool. And they couldn't believe it.
Just crack, crack, crack.
Oh, yeah. They were, my daughter's like, does this happen just because, you know, you're in the show? And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, this is a special thing. It's not like,
don't get any wild idea, people out there.
But that's just the generosity of spirit that lives within James and is so, and brings those characters and makes people feel so connected with them is because he just has that spirit that's so welcoming. And he makes Jefferson the same.
We wanted to work together for a long time.
There was
she's right. Lynn is very loyal, so there's like a crew of people
Lynn squad.
He has the Lynn squad.
Yeah,
and so some of us have either been in shows together or want to work with each other. Then we finally get to, we're like, oh yeah, we finally got to. We've known each other forever.
But we did Lincoln Center together.
That's true. We did the Lincoln Center concert, the first
Hamilton
concert of Hamilton.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And when Lynn was like, I'm putting up some songs. Well, Tommy.
Yeah.
And Tommy was like, we're putting up some songs. Would you come in and sing the songs? And I sang Mariah's song for the first time.
And I was the first mother.
And whenever Lynn or Tommy or Alex, anybody calls you, you're like,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you go, yeah.
I'm on my way.
Because you don't know what it is, but you're like, I don't know what this is, but something, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
Absolutely, I'll be there.
Yeah.
So, you know. So that was cool.
It was fun. And to do it from there and then to come back and actually do it on Broadway is cool.
It's nice.
I think I'm also struck by you guys talking about listening to the fans. And I think creating a community of acceptance and letting them in on this is so very cool. And the impact.
I think what some actors don't get, most of the guys in the Lynn squad or most folks that we all know get it, but some actors don't get, you got to be nice to the fans for one reason and one reason only. One, they're the reason why we have a job. These people are spending their hard-earned money, and it's a pretty expensive ticket to see any show on Broadway. So for them to come and spend their hard-earned money to come see a show, the least you could do is go outside and sign. Now, there are cases, because there are some entertainers whose part is so vigorous and so energy draining that they can't. And I ask the fans to understand that. But those of us who we're not, you know, we're only sweating and we're not, you know, crying, dying, snotting,
holding breath.
We can go outside and sign. We're not giving our soul. We're giving our energy, but we're not, you know, leaving our soul on stage. So go outside and sign. Talk to somebody.
Change
you might change some lives.
And
you just
they'll
never
change
know.
Yours in turn. Yeah.
There are kids now. Jesus, you know it's true. There are kids now who are like in their 20s, who are on Broadway, who were fans of yours. and you're working right next to them. J.Q. Johnson. J.Q. Johnson, who plays Mulligan. I met him on my first time at Hamilton. He stops signing and screams Big Love from Memphis to me. Looks me dead in my face and goes, dude, I studied you in high school, and now I'm working with you. So at first it made my heart drop to my feet, but then I thought, here's a kid who is not only one of the most talented brothers on Broadway, period, but this kid studied me and my friends in Memphis, and it made him want to do this. And now he's on Broadway. He saw our DVD and was like, yeah, I want to do that. And now he's on Broadway. So you never know. Be nice to folks. You never know who
never
it is.
Know.
Who
it
is.
Yeah. You never
know who you're talking to.
And what they're going through that day or what their experience is.
Yeah.
And theater is such a, you know, for people who are obsessed with theater, sometimes they don't always have the easiest time in wherever they're from, too.
Yeah.
So to have that inclusion is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about, in a few short weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm still sort of being eased into it because, again, this is my first Broadway show, and, like, it's this show, which is, like, everyone is so crazy about it. And it's funny that, like, I always find it funny, like, before I even, like, got there, there were people like, so, you're the new Mariah? I was like, wow, who are you?
But listen, because like, okay. That's the jobs everybody wants is to be in your play.
How do you know that?
Tommy is very, I mean, Tommy's brilliant, but Tommy is very smart when it comes to casting.
That's very
And he casts the right, he puts the right people together, and he makes sure that everybody's in sync, you know?
Yeah.
And so when she came in, it was like, oh, she's part of the family.
She totally fit. We were like, oh, okay, cool.
I was really surprised by that, actually. I had no idea how it was going to be, and I was just so surprised that everyone was just like, hi, welcome home, basically. I was like, wow. Like, it never felt awkward or weird, ever. Not even once. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure Gregory Treco, like, sent me a message before I was even there, and he was like, I love you. I was like, oh,
yes.
Nice
like,
to
you
meet
do?
You.
Yeah. Great,
I can't
I'm on
wait
my
for
way.
You to be here. Yes. I was like, oh, yes.
It feels good to be loved.
This is going
to
be great.
You're like, who are you?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I haven't done, I'm sort of easing my way into, like, the signing of it all, because it's a little intimidating right now, but, but when I do, it's really wonderful and special to just, like, look into people's eyes and just see them, like, so full of light and happiness and be like, I contributed to help that in whatever their life is and stuff like that. It's just really rewarding.
Yeah, you were talking a little bit earlier. I'm going to loop this back around to sometimes you have the people who want to come and have an interactive sing-along sound of music experience with you at the Hamilton play.
That is one of my favorite moments because sometimes you...
They can't help it.
Sometimes
they know that they're doing it.
But sometimes they don't know and sometimes they do. But it's the ones that don't know. They
remember
get
the little
me.
Girl, though?
The little
that don't
girl
know that,
that
was like
that
six, and she
it?
Was like she wasn't singing out loud, but she was just living. And she knew every song. And it's just... You can't help it. You're like, this is amazing.
My favorite was there were these three brothers who looked, it's terrible to say, there were three brothers that looked like they belonged to Hamilton, which made sense.
Okay.
But it was the June Cleaver mom next to them that did not have anything to do with it. That was literally, you know, I'm taking this hospital race, making red cool. Ha, ha, ha. You know?
I like Barbara like, Billingsley.
I'm looking at her husband. Her husband is like literally doing the hip hop head bob. He's like, ah, taga, 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 taga.
Oh,
and these
goodness.
People were the most straight laced, leave it to Beaver people. I was like, what is. I'm looking at the three brothers and they're acting like they were at a Broadway show. Oh, this is very nice. Good. And these two white people are just like, aha, ta, 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 yes. And they were in it the entire show. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, Q, are you seeing this? I'm like, these folks, it was like they were at a DMX concert. They were in it that
because
deep.
Because if that goes back to they've been waiting
so,
for
yes.
this
waiting.
Moment.
It was so great.
Listening, studying.
It was so hype.
Yeah. Breathing it.
Yes.
You said sometimes in the front row, though.
Last night there was someone. Did you see that woman? She
forgets that you can see
life.
Them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was
the,
living her life.
The great thing sometimes is when you have the young people that come and they're singing throughout the whole show and they just love it. They're not doing it to get any attention.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, they're just sobbing. And you meet them afterwards and they're like have lost their voice because they've just had such an incredible experience. To see that, it's like, when does that happen?
Yeah.
I also love when there's like little kids and there were two little girls. This has happened a couple of times. Like a brother, sister, or sister, sister, two brothers. They're always little. They're like younger than 13. And they're next to their parents. And we get to Washington on Your Side. And there's a major, major cuss word in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rapping the entire time. And when they get to the cuss word, they start to begin to pan up to see if their parents are looking.
Oh, no.
And if their parents aren't looking, they're like, And like, and their parents looked down. It was too late. They've already said it. You know, it's like so great. Like, I love to see the slow panels. Like, you see me, cousin? No, nope. Good. Okay, good. And like, they all want to say the words because they know the whole lyrics.
And
that's what makes it so cool.
Yeah, I feel I don't know that I would be able to help myself if I knew all of it by the time I saw it. It's too infectious.
Are you in a show? I know you are. Do you want to add some Broadway flair to your school or community theater production? Well, Playbuilder lets you build your very own Broadway quality playbill program. Each playbill is fully customizable for your production. Dates, song title, cast names, production credits, artwork, and even advertising. It's a great way to promote your show, raise money for your organization, and create a professional, printable program. Save valuable time with Playbuilder Express. Select from thousands of pre-populated programs in our database and simply begin to customize your production's playbill. Visit Playbuilder.com to learn how you can create your own playbill today.
So, friends, one of the things we like here at the Broadway Cast is the ability that we have to reach out and connect with theater fans all over the country, nay, the world. So we put out a little social media alert to have people who wanted to ask you a couple questions, ask you some questions. So we have vetted these questions. So it's not going to be, will you have my baby or take my baby? Okay. This is for Joanna. And this is from Denia DeWeese. She wants to know. For Joanna, what cast member would you love to switch places with for the day and get to play that role regardless of gender?
Mulligan?
Yeah?
Yeah. I just think that it just looks so fun. Yeah. Like, the way he, like, jumps out at the end of Yorktown.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to play that role. Like, just and then, like, when he changes into, like, Madison and he, like, has his handkerchief and stuff. I don't know. It looks really fun.
He knows you're watching. Does he know you're watching him this way?
Q does now.
Now he
does now.
I'm, like, learning.
I want to pose that question to both of you as well. I like that.
I guess I would want to play Jefferson. I'm not sure about Lafayette, but definitely Jefferson.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, to be honest, it's always funny. I love Angelica.
Yeah,
I love Satisfied. That's like the coolest. That's the coolest track to me. I'm like, that song is awesome.
Dope. Yeah, what did I miss? Song. Like
she's,
one of my
she's
favorite
so
songs.
Cool. I mean, like the great thing I like about Angelica is like because of the way the show is written. Because of how I should say the show is written. Because of life, you know, she couldn't be the person she would have. She'd have been a man. She'd have been president.
For sure. Mm,
she's smarter than everyone on stage, including Hamilton. She's the smartest one. Mm. And I think that's the coolest thing. She's the smartest person in the show.
This question is from Samara Ariel.
Oh, Samara.
Our good pal.
Yeah.
And this is for you, Mandy. Mm-hmm. What fearless qualities do you think Angelica Schuyler has, and what do you admire about them? # fearless squad.
Ooh, I love you. Samara. I would say that one fearless quality that she has is loyalty. The first one. She's very loyal to her family and to her position, I think, in life. She's very loyal to what she needs to do. She also tries to find the people that support her. So I think, and that's her sister, but and Hamilton. So I think that she's also looking to others for support and finds inspiration through that. But I would say that those are her big two fearless qualities. Because it takes a fearlessness to be a little vulnerable.
For James, this is from Nate Can Tell Me. And he wants to know, after Aladdin and Hamilton, what would be your dream project to do? And would you want to work with Alan Menken again?
I'll answer the second one first. I am actually working with Alan Menken again. I have the privilege of being the voice of Lance Strongbow on the Disney television cartoon Tangled, the animated series, And so it's pretty fun to
He's
be...
He's so good, too. I watch it with my daughter.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun to do that. And there are rumors, I've heard, there are rumors that Lance may get a song or Lance may get to sing a song with one of the characters. I don't know. I hope that comes soon.
He better.
So we can always hope. And if that's the case, then I'll get to, because Alan writes all the music for that show. So, and you know, Alan knows if I would love to work with him again anytime. I had so much fun with him with Aladdin. As far as like after Hamilton, I have this crazy dream that I really need to get on because I've said it too many places. So I think people are starting to ask me now. I have a thing for solo shows. Since I was younger, the first time I saw Richard Pryor on Saturday Night Live, he was doing his monologues, and I'm a huge fan. Anybody knows me knows I love Whoopi Goldberg. I love John Leguizamo. I love a person getting up by themselves and just, it sounds egotistical, but a person getting up and just telling a story and making people laugh. And in the process of you laughing, you don't realize that you actually learned something. Yeah. So I am working on a one-person show about my life as a child, but also, you know, all the stupid things I did as a kid and going that
way.
It does sound amazing. There better be a lion costume
below.
Involved.
I did a part of it at 54 Below. It was the cabaret show, but this is going to be an expanded version of that to be a little more like a show.
Get that ticket now. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm
can't
saying.
Can't wait for that.
Say. Hopefully.
Very quickly, I like this for all of our panels. I'm crazy about onstage mishaps, and I want to know what's your most memorable Hamilton.
Oh, I have a good one.
Mandy Gonzalez.
Well, you know, the Angelica dress is long.
Let's start there.
And I have no control over it, really. It's a gorgeous dress. Paul Tazewell did a beautiful job. The corset is semi-comfortable. but it's long, and I have to do a certain turn while the turntable is turning. And one time... A Hamilton cover was on. I won't call him out, but he tripped over the dress and proceeded to take me down with him onto the floor. So then I had to get up and run and hug my sister. But it was one of those things where I was like, "Are we going down? Yeah, we're going down. Let's go." And so it was one of those things like he just couldn't help it. It was he tripped over the dress, and I don't blame him. It's long. So it was the time. I blame the time.
Uh-huh.
And so that was my biggest one on Hamilton so far.
James.
I've had too many to name, and most of them I've put on Instagram for this thing we call Burr's Corner. This thing called hashtag Burr's Corner. When you mess up, you go on Instagram and tell people what you did. But I think my favorite one so far... there's a moment in the Skylar sisters.
Where we all
come down the steps, we can all dance
together.
Oh,
that's the best one, yeah.
And I was on the top of the steps, and this foot slipped down the step, and I literally fell down every step. On that, but I was trying to stop, and it literally sounded like this. And I stopped on my feet like this, and my eyes were so big. And I look up, and who's looking at me? But at the time, Brandon Victor Dixon, who's playing her, Anthony Mattia, who's playing Lawrence, and Q, and they looked at me, and like you know, your dear friends do, they were like. Now they're skinny.
No help.
We're like, in the greatest city in the world. And they're going, and I was like,
because it's steep. And
I am like, literally. Yeah. Panicked because I also have
to assess the damage.
Yes,
you don't know
like,
if you hurt.
Did I hurt anything? But no, I landed flat feet and enough time to get up and go, you know, hey, ho, and to do all the stuff. But literally, it was the scariest moment. And I mean, to hit every step though, like I thought I might miss one. I hit
that's
every
a special
step.
Skill.
And then we're all like, oh man, like I didn't see it.
Because yeah. I'm like, everybody's, like,
again.
Everybody's
again.
Like, did you see Jay's fault? And he did.
Oh man.
Damn.
Because it's just. One of those moments.
But some people heard it behind, like, is that what that was behind me? I was like, yeah, that was me falling.
Like,
it was
adding more percussion somehow.
I think the only thing that helped me was the fact I didn't scream, because usually when I fall, I scream, and I'm so glad I didn't.
But me
I was
too.
Like, don't make a sound!
Is a low guttural sort of scream?
No, it's a prince. Woo! It's high pitched. Kiss, you
cuts
know,
right
kiss,
through.
Kiss prince.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Joetta?
Well, luckily, I don't want to curse myself, but no. I haven't had any huge mishaps yet. Just like little like costume pieces.
There's time.
No, I guess there's like a little like semi game that's like developing in which like I like revealed early on that I have invisible cats. Remember?
Oh yes, yes.
There's this inside joke about me having three invisible cats because I'm a crazy cat lady, and so like we like incorporated this game into where like a cat shows up on the stage.
I was
at some
nice.
Point.
I was not gonna bring it up in this interview. But
it's
I'm
okay.
Glad you did.
I feel like
I was being nice to you
I need to
about
know.
Not bringing up your invisible cats.
The invisible cats will show up, but
this I don't know.
Yes.
Only a couple people have started doing it, but they'll like be holding one of my cats like when I'm coming on stage.
I was not. I haven't done it yet. I've been trying.
You look for cat treatment.
Yeah, or like someone will like dangle one over like the balcony. I'm like, no.
These are the things you don't know. That's happy
the
Hamilton.
The first time she told us she had invisible cats, we were all at the table and we all stopped.
And, like, yeah,
and she kind of looked at us and then we literally looked at each other and were like, yeah, she fits. This is,
yeah.
This is the chronic crazy for this show.
2 weeks in, she's got Shakira, invisible cats.
Just mad.
She belongs. You know what you're doing.
She
belong to the light.
Yeah. Belong to the thunder. That feels good.
We belong. Yep.
friends, we've run out of time.
Oh,
it just flew by. I want to say thank you so much to this incredible panel of stars. If you're listening, go out and see Hamilton. You can't. You'll never get a ticket. but put your orders in for 2022 now. Make sure you buy Manny Gonzalez's upcoming album, yes, out October 20th. Thank you so much, Manny Gonzalez, James Monroe, Iglehart. Such a pleasure to have you here. Joanna Jones, congratulations. We love you guys very much. Thanks for being here. Thank this you. Is your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying have a great show.
Can't get enough of the Broadway cast? Well, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Also, go over to youtube.com/thebroadwaycast, and you can check out exclusive video footage that you're sure to love.